Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced issues, etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Our thoughts and our prayers are with the people of Japan. This is a potentially catastrophic disaster.
Al-Qaeda is actively targeting the American Muslim community for recruitment. Today's hearing will address this dangerous trend.
It's true that specific individuals, including some who are Muslims, are violent extremists. However, these are individuals, not entire communities.
God does not need anything from us. And when we worship, we're receiving things from Him. God is the giver, and we are on the receiving end of His gift. That's what it means to be a Christian.
Kansas Lutheran truck drivers are no strangers to multitasking. We can both listen to Issues, etc., and pronounce it correctly at the same time.
Well, in an interview with David Brody, Newt Gingrich, who's thinking about running for president, made a rare reflection on some of his past mistakes, and now he is willing to admit sins. He wrote this: "There's no question, at times in my life, partially driven by how passionately I felt about this country, that I worked too hard and things happened in my life that were not appropriate. And what I can tell you is that when I did things that were wrong, I wasn't trapped in situation ethics. I was doing things that were wrong, and yet I was doing them. How has this been covered by the media? It is a mea culpa. It is an admission of sin." And he goes on to talk about finding a forgiving God. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on Monday, March the 14th. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway joins us here for the first few minutes of this hour to talk about media coverage of Newt Gingrich's forgiveness story and the NPR sting. A little bit later, we'll get a biography of Albert Pujols, baseball cardinal. Scott Lamb, co-author of the book Pujols More Than the Game, will be our guest, and we'll round off this hour of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon, talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, who formerly served as executive director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care, about the Japan earthquake and tsunami. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a columnist for Christianity Today magazine and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be here.
What's the story on Newt Gingrich, and how has, in particular, the Associated Press covered his recent comments?
Well, it's really interesting. He's apparently running for president. I can't imagine why, but he has been getting a lot of press coverage recently. And one of the issues that has been really prominent is his past affairs and how he's going to handle those. He has not really talked about it very much. He's been married 3 times. He reportedly ended one of his marriages while his wife was dealing with cancer and whatnot. So he has a really bad reputation on this front, and this is very damaging for evangelicals, well, and other people who care about these things. And so David Brody at Christian Broadcasting Network did a really interesting interview where Newt actually opened up for the first time about this topic. And he talked about, you read the quote, which was one of the more interesting quotes from that interview, about how he thinks that he got into a place where he was spending less time with his wife and more time working his job, and how that made him vulnerable for an affair. And then he does say that he was wrong and whatnot. It's not the most contrite confession one has ever heard, but it was really interesting. And the news there really would be that he opened up about his indiscretions and the role that forgiveness played. And yet, when the AP ran the headline, they had an unbelievably snarky headline, something like, Newt Gingrich, love of country contributed to affair, which is, making a leap that's probably a bit unfair, and it's too editorial, actually. I mean, we all might wonder how serious he is about his affair, about repentance on that front, but it's inappropriate for a headline writer to full-on editorialize in that fashion, and also kind of to miss the important part, which is that Newt Gingrich was talking about forgiveness of sins and the role that played in his life.
Now, how did the AP, if at all, deal with that issue of a forgiving God that Newt Gingrich references several times in his Brody interview?
They really didn't. They just didn't even mention that part of the story, and they just skimmed over it. Now, I do want to say that they did fix the headline later. Someone obviously thought wiser of it and wrote a better headline that was more accurate description of what happened. Just talking about the role that politics played in him spending less time with his wife. But yeah, they didn't really talk about it. And I think that maybe there's something about the media has trouble. They love talking about sin, particularly some people's sin, but they really don't know how to talk about forgiveness very well. It's a very uncomfortable topic for them. And so we just don't see much about how forgiveness plays out. Now, of course, for Christians, forgiveness is, you know, central teaching of the faith, and it's something that, you know, Christians deal with every single day. So it's kind of unfortunate that the media doesn't do a better job of explaining that angle. Now, they do a really good job of talking about how Christians condemn this sin or that sin or the other. They just never mention the other part of the equation, which is the role that forgiveness plays in our faith.
As a print journalist, Molly, talk about kind of the, not the mechanics, but the role that the headline, or in some cases the lead, can play in shaping the way an entire story is read by print readers.
Yeah. It's kind of humiliating when you're a reporter when you realize this, but most people do not read your story. Most people will just skim the headline and move on. Now, if it's a particularly, if it's a headline that interests you or it intrigues you, then you might read the lead of the story, which is just the first paragraph or two. Very few people make it all the way to the end. So even though this reporter had nothing to do, likely, with the headline, that's what got read, and that's what spread all over the internet. And then people never got to the actual interview on Christian Broadcasting Network. They were just getting an interpretation of the interview from the AP story, and so then you saw other people just running with it. Slate had a piece called something like, well, if Newt Gingrich says that he cheated on his wife because he was stressed, this clearly means he can't be president, which, you know, again, that bore almost no relation to the actual text of the interview. So it can be a very powerful thing, a headline and the lead and the way that the story is shaped, even if the full story is quite balanced.
Well, of course, another very multifaceted story. I mean, there's so much to talk about and write about in the story of the so-called sting operation that was carried out on the chief fundraiser for National Public Radio and one of his associates. I watched the video last night. It was amazing stuff to watch. What's your evaluation of how it's getting covered?
Well, it's a very interesting story, and there's a lot to be written about there. I think one of the things from a Get Religion angle that we're really interested in is the ethics of such undercover sting operations. There was recently a sting of Planned Parenthood that was very effective, where they caught Planned Parenthood employees willing to break the law in order to support child sex rings. And yet the pro-life community actually had a vigorous debate about whether it was ever right to lie about who you are in order to get this information. And so that's the same issue here with the NPR story. Nobody, of course, is talking about that angle very much. And then the actual text of what happened in this sting operation, it has so much to look at. The group was pretending to be, the two guys involved in this thing were pretending to be a Muslim Brotherhood front organization. NPR had absolutely no problem with this at all, even though on their front page they said their goal was to enforce Sharia worldwide or something like that. No problems, not even a moment of hesitation about taking money from a Muslim Brotherhood organization. Now, they did have qualms later about whether it was a legit group, but they didn't have a problem taking the meeting or anything. So that's an interesting angle, one that has actually not been well covered by the media. But the biggest thing that I can't believe has not been covered is all of the anti-Semitism that was just bounding around in this taped interview. Everyone was saying all sorts of these like gross stereotypes about Jews controlling the media, and they were laughing about how NPR stood for National Palestinian Radio. Now, nobody even really covered that very much. NPR, to its credit, actually mentioned it in one blog item that there was some anti-Semitism going on. But I don't know. I don't understand why that's not a bigger deal. I think this is actually probably a huge problem in elite communities, is this sort of new anti-Semitism, and nobody even dealt with it in the media coverage. And I think that's unfortunate, because it's something that I think really does need that the light needs to be shown on this in order to understand it better and perhaps combat it as well.
I note an irony here. I'm a regular and very almost constant listener to National Public Radio, and I've noticed, comparing their coverage with others, they've actually had, to my way of thinking, the most even-handed coverage of this thing of all the media outlets that I've seen on it.
It is. I mean, they really had no choice, right, other than to do really good coverage on it, but it has been nice to see. They have done very good, balanced coverage, you know, avoiding phrases to bias the story or whatnot, and they've been keeping readers and our listeners informed, and that is a very important role for NPR, because right now they are in a dangerous situation of losing their, for them, they, well, actually that was one of the things revealed in the sting, was that the executive said that losing federal funds would actually be good for them in the long run, but their public statements are that would be bad for them. So this was just a really bad timing for them, as they're trying to improve their image, and they're being accused of being biased against conservatives and religious types and whatnot. This was really the worst thing that could have happened to them.
So whether it is the angle of Islam, the angle of Zionism or anti-Semitism there, the angle of the mention of square state Christians and racism, this one really is rife for or an opportunity for good reporting, whoever is doing the reporting.
It really is. There are many angles here. There are a lot of hooks that you could run with, again, from the Muslim Brotherhood angle to the anti-Semitism to just the what's happening in terms of gross stereotyping among the elites that are at NPR or whatnot. There's a lot of coverage to be had out there, and at least it is being covered. I mean, I don't think that just because it's unethical, in my view, to do these sting operations, they clearly made some huge news, and so it's appropriate to cover it. It's just appropriate to cover all the angles and make sure you're including all of the information for your readers and listeners.
Finally, it's also a kind of a technological question that impacts everyone's life to some degree. But even though it remains illegal in many states to surreptitiously record conversations like this, there is a threshold we're standing on here, Molly, and that is this now has become, for the journalist, part of what will be adding fodder to what they write about and what they talk about, these sting operations, so to speak. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, well, it is very interesting. It's one of the beauties of this new decentralized journalism environment. Basically, anyone can go out there and be a reporter, and I think that's the way we should look at it, not say, oh, you're a reporter and you're not. I mean, these people clearly broke news. They have different standards for how they went about doing it, and this is happening all over the world. You see it in social media. You see everything, like with the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. You had thousands of people writing the news, and then all of the institutions that used to control that operation are using these individuals. And it's a very interesting thing. I think news organizations will have to think about the ethics of when they use information and when not. I do think there would definitely be a time when it's inappropriate to get any information. Or to use any of the information from a truly unethical sting operation. But I don't think we've had a situation like that yet, even including there was the recent sting of the Wisconsin governor where someone impersonated someone that they weren't. They impersonated an actual person. Now, that's a definite no-no in journalism. You can't claim to be someone who's an actual living being in order to dupe someone. But even there, I think it was appropriate. That was a news-making event, and so I think ethically you can use the news that's created by these independent journalists.
Molly, before we let you go, you're joining us live from an airport en route to Israel. What is taking you to the Middle East?
Yeah, I get to spend a week in Israel just learning more about the country. It's a journalism trip, working on a couple of different stories about the plight of Christians over there, counterterrorism operations. And it's my first trip to Israel, and as a religion reporter, it seems that it was high time that I got over there to that region and learn more about what's happening in Palestine and Israel. So,
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a columnist for Christianity Today magazine, a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for joining us this week.
Thank you very much.